The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the role of prayer and fasting for you and me? Why did Jesus say some demons only come out by prayer and fasting? This is a challenging episode of Grace in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us today. Grace in Focus is the broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Get to know us better by coming to our website, faithalone.org. There you can read our daily blogs and learn about our conference ministry. That's at faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
And we are continuing our dip into the Gospel of Mark.
Perambulating through Mark.
There you go.
No, we said meandering.
Meandering. We are in chapter 9, and Bob asked me, well, which thing do you want to pick?
Which verse is in 9?
That's right. And sometimes I get crazy. And
You picked a crazy one.
This is a crazy
one. About prayer and fasting?
Yeah, this is what's going on here. What I told Bob was, I said, I think when we get to chapter 9, a really interesting one would be where the father brings his son to Jesus to have a demon cast out of him.
Now, but Jesus isn't there when the father arrives.
That's right.
So who's there?
There's 9 disciples there, because Jesus took 3 of the disciples with him up on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Peter, James, and John.
Right. And so the other nine
are left.
The other 9 are there. And
they try to cast out the demon.
And they can't do it. And that raises all kinds of...
lost demons before this.
They've been casting out demons left and right.
And so they must be puzzled. Why can't we do this?
Right. That's the way I would feel. Like, well, wait a second. We've done this before. And even if I couldn't, what about the other 8 guys? You know, why are we batting 0 here?
Right.
And
the dad is, too. The dad's like, I brought him and your guys couldn't do it. What's up with this?
By the way, it's interesting that the scribes are there. And
now, what's a scribe?
A scribe, he would be considered the PhD scholar, from what I understand.
Writes well.
Right. These scribes were considered the experts in the Old Testament law, particularly the oral traditions and things like that. They were very well respected in the community. They served as judges, lawyers, and, of course, in the Gospel of Mark— they are perhaps, maybe the high priestly families would qualify for this, but they're Christ's biggest enemies.
Wow.
You know, there's only one scribe that comes across positive, and that's later on the one who says to Jesus, you've answered well. But every other time the scribes are mentioned, it's negative.
And often they're associated with the Pharisees.
Yes.
The scribes and Pharisees.
Right. The scribes are there, and they are arguing with the disciples. And so we got to ask a question.
I mean, Jesus comes back with Peter, James, and John.
Right.
And there's this cacophony going on because the father's there and they couldn't cast out the demon from his boy. But on top of that, they got the scribes arguing with the remaining 9.
Yeah. And the question is, what were they? In the King James Version, it says they were disputing.
Now, we're doing Mark 9, 14 through 29, right?
Right. That's where this account is. And so when Jesus comes down, the scribes are disputing with the other 9. Well, what are they disputing about? Here's what I would throw out to you. I think they are, to use a military word, dogging them. Like, you can't cast them out. You can't cast these demons out. Remember earlier, the religious leaders have said that Jesus was doing things through the power of Satan. So now the question is, why can't you cast out this demon? You could before.
Yeah.
Jesus could before, and you are his representative. Why can't you cast this demon out? Just a suggestion. If before they said Satan is the one who's allowing you to do that, well, he's not allowing it anymore.
So they're saying something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. You know, like, and they're ridiculing them. I said dogging, but they're ridiculing him. Oh, you don't have the power anymore. The power is slipping. It's gone. And, of course, if that's true, then he's not the Christ. And there's a crowd there. And that's what the scribes are saying. The scribes.
So they're trying to use this experience to turn people away from Jesus.
That's right. And so he's not the Christ. We were right. If his power came from God, he was the Christ, then you would still be able to do this. But you're not able to do it anymore. And so he's an imposter.
So they're trying to grab the headlines.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're discrediting him in the eyes of the people.
But sadly for them.
Unfortunately for them.
The
right?
Lord Jesus shows up and he does cast out the demon.
Right. And so here's a question. Why couldn't the disciples cast out this demon? Well, Jesus is going to tell them.
Right.
But then what does he mean by this?
But even after he gives the answer, we still have that question.
Yeah, like what is the deal here?
Basically, his answer is going to be that most demons, or at least many of the demons, or all the demons they've come into contact with so far, because this appears to be the first time they've been unable to do it.
Right.
So all the demons they've come into contact with before, they've been able to cast out. But maybe this one's like the Gadarene demoniac where, you know, we're myriad because there's thousands of us in one person.
Right.
And maybe that kind, they were unable to cast out without a special kind of experience, which Jesus is going to explain. Now, Jesus can do it without the things they need to do. He's going to say, for you, it takes prayer and fasting.
Right.
For Jesus, it didn't take either one. Well, I guess it took prayer in the sense that he's always in contact with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't appear that Jesus is praying before he casts out this demon. He has the authority and the power to do it. And what? So he casts out the demon.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
There's a number of questions that pop up here. Jesus rebukes them. He rebukes them strongly. Notice what he says to them in verse 19.
You mean the scribes?
No, to the disciples.
Oh, the disciples. Okay.
Notice what he calls them. O faithless generation.
You take the O faithless generation to refer to the disciples?
Yes, I do.
The believing disciples except for Judas, but the 11 were all believers.
Yeah, I think he is rebuking the disciples.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so if I'm correct.
Convince us.
Okay, when he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. So let's say that Jesus is talking to the disciples there. If he is, he's saying earlier he had called the unbelieving Jews a faithless generation, right? And so he says, you're just like them. Now, so they're not believing something. Okay, if he's talking,
right.
Bob and I haven't talked about this. So if he's talking to the disciples, what he's saying is, you don't believe something. Well, what is it that they don't believe here?
Yeah, tell me. I don't.
so let's go on. Notice later the disciples are going to say, why couldn't we cast this demon out?
Right.
And he's going to tell them, well, this one comes out, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Okay, all kinds of questions here. And obviously there's things we
don't know. That's verse 29, the end of the section. It only comes out of prayer and fasting. I assume that's for them because Jesus didn't have to fast before he did it.
Right. And so here's the question I would have for you. They didn't have to fast evidently before when they were casting out demons.
Right.
Okay. And more importantly.
Well, plus he says this kind.
Right. And so here's my question. How did they know they were going to confront this demon? If you have to fast, like let's say, okay, this demon, you got to fast for 24 hours before you cast it out. Let's just say, okay. Well, they didn't know they were going to confront this demon. The Father brings it to them.
Right. So then doesn't that support my idea that, O faithless generation, is directed toward the scribes, not the 11 or the 12?
So you think Jesus wanted the scribes to cast it out?
No, I think they're saying they're a faithless generation and they're mocking, you know, they're saying your disciples couldn't do this and see, you don't have any power anymore and Satan has removed his power, so now you can't even do this. And they're mocking. But I see your point. You could be right. Maybe this is talking about the 12, or maybe, how about this? Believing and unbelieving Israel is a faithless generation.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Let me just throw this out here. Bob may shoot me. So okay. After this time, I might be dead. So if I'm not in any more of these sessions, you'll know I'm no longer with the living room.
But there's no evidence that I did it.
Okay. A possibility.
Okay. What is it?
There is something the disciples now do not believe.
What is it?
And there is something has changed. Before they could do it, now they can't. And something has changed, and now they are faithless. What has changed is, starting at this part of Mark, Jesus has just told them, I'm going to die.
Right.
I'm going to suffer.
And they do not
believe that.
Right.
They do not believe that. What I think probably is going on is the disciples, for the rest of this section in Mark, as Jesus is heading to Jerusalem, they think they're going there to reign. They think they're going there, everything's hunky-dory. They don't believe in this suffering and this opposition that they're about to encounter. And they are resting on their laurels of the way it's always been. They went to the nation. They didn't have to rely upon the Lord. The Lord is beginning to teach them to rely upon him and their suffering and the opposition that they're doing. They don't believe that.
Yeah.
Okay? And when he says this kind, I don't think he's saying this is a really, really, really strong demon. You know, this is a really strong demon, and you're going to meet really, really strong demons. And when you meet them, you're going to have to fast. Well, how do you know when you're about to meet a really, really, really strong demon?
I don't know.
I don't buy that. I think what he's saying is we're in a new program now where we're going to be suffering. You've got to rely upon me with fasting and prayer and looking upon me. You're resting in your laurels. You could always do it. You don't understand that this is going to be a time of suffering and everything. You don't think you need to rely upon me or anything. He's beginning to teach them these things. I think he's rebuking the disciples when he says this kind is, we're in a new ball game here.
I mean, if I'm following you, you're saying he's speaking more broadly than just casting out demons.
Yeah, he's saying
if you want to minister for me, you're going to have to rely upon me. You're going to have to pray and fast.
Pray and fast, relying upon me, because you're going to need it. Because you're going to be suffering and you're going to be going through difficult. I don't think he's saying, look, there's some really, really, really strong demons and then there's some that's not. That doesn't make any sense to
me. All right, well, we're pretty much out of time. But in the conclusion, fasting is discussed in the New Testament, but it's not exactly commanded in the New Testament.
And I think he's talking to the disciples that this was a Jewish practice.
Oh, you do?
Yes. I don't think this is a command on the church.
For the church age?
Right. And I don't think we fast in order to cast out demons. I don't think that.
Or even fast for ministry.
Exactly. Right.
Right. Okay. Well, if you don't agree with what Ken's saying, send him some emails. Don't send them to GES@faithalone.org or radio@faithalone.org. Send them to Ken.
Well, we hope it's helpful anyway just to discuss the issues. Keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, a blind man named Bartimaeus. Come back and join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.